Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 486 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How we doing, fellas?
Fucking not as good as you. You've had an eventful day.
Oh, well, you know, we've had an eventful day because, you know, it just so happened the business paths crossed over with fucking stepdad for you know, I mean, I've done a lot of little nibbles here and there for him, but today was the first opportunity that he had to throw one back my way, and it was fucking enjoyable.
Did not disappoint.
Oh, look.
Did you have the absolute pleasure of dealing with Jay or the fucking tantric satisfaction of the pleasure of dealing with his business partner, who is,
if there's ever someone that I
fucking have dealt with for a very brief period of time that I've realized just how fucking good they are at what they do, it's that guy.
He's pretty good,
and,
hey?
And that's no, that's no disrespect to Jay.
No, not at all.
Now, look, I've got to say, fucking like, yeah, stepdad, fucking stepped up. The motherfucker, he's like a shark, and the fucking cold dead eyes, and let me tell you, when
actually really when is.
the matter that he was working when he calls me up to relay the first status after the first call with this, you know, situation, and while he's telling me about it, I'm getting abusive texts from the subject of the call, and just jiving like perfectly with what I'm getting told in one ear. It was fucking hilarious, and so it's been a bit back and forth all day, and just before we pressed record tonight, there was some
updates.
Some late updates and twists and everything. It's a sensational plot.
Teamless Tuesday had an extra player. we thought one was scrubbed.
and I said some cold-blooded shit that I meant.
Yep.
And I won't repeat that, though, because, oh, my God.
No.
I mean, there won't be any cancelling. I mean, it's not something that's cancellable, but it'll change the way people think about their friendly boy, Nate. Like, he's a friendly guy. He's the peacemaker. I mean...
Read your terms.
No one has ever said
people.
That. Ever.
He loves everybody.
No one's ever said any of those things.
And he has to protect little Glennie from getting fucking beat on by stepdad.
Least
every
of
episode.
All that. Of all the things that people have never said, that's Glennie. The thing they've never said the most.
No, they have. Do you not know that Nate's New Year's Eve antics were the inspiration for the Peacemaker dance? That's how Peacemaker he is.
Yeah, Glennie. Do you want to taste it? That's what I say to you, Glennie, in a reference that you have no fucking idea about.
I know. It doesn't sound right.
Hey, look, whatever way you take it.
Throw your dog the invisible bone, Glennie.
Does it taste like rat sack smells?
Yes, but read your terms and conditions, kiddies. Read your terms and conditions.
Look, listen, like, seriously, don't get between a man and his money, or else, that man might fucking... He might have a stepdad, and he might put that stepdad on you. And if he puts that stepdad on you, you're gonna fucking wish he didn't. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, you're gonna fucking get the stepdad.
We're triggering that much childhood trauma right now.
Yeah, trigger warning for people who had less ideal relations with their stepdads. And of course, I mean, take this opportunity to welcome the new listeners as well.
Welcome to the show. To the number one rugby league podcast on the planet.
Yeah, where sometimes we talk about rugby league.
We do.
Look, it's also. I mean, you know, if people don't realize, it's also a chance for you know, some geographically separate, especially in the case of Glennie, who lives, you know, a couple of hours away. It's just an opportunity for us a couple of times a week to you know, get on the call together.
Sometimes we trip over a fucking conversation about rugby league.
Yeah, exactly. Have a chat. We've got to catch up first, and then we talk about footy.
You know what happens if we go straight into the footy, Glennie? We end up like Jackson Hastings.
Touching it too much.
Too many touches, snapped limbs.
Playing for the West Tigers in general.
Yeah, fair call.
Did you see Jacko on Twitter today? Or yesterday?
Fucking oath I did, and good on him.
I mean, it's not like he was being slandered or anything, though. I mean, it's not like some other stuff that's been going on this week. I mean, it was just like, hey, could you please stop showing my fucking leg getting broken on every...
Yeah.
You know, they put, you know, they said they put, like, you know, a weekend track behind it, and it's, you know, it's an ad now. So
yeah, exactly.
But look, that's, you know, that's what happens. You make spectacular plays, you get thrown on the highlight reels.
You do.
That's how it works in this game. Speaking of, as we were saying, like, you know, people were wronged. The Ricky Stewart thing played out. Obviously, it had happened before we recorded last time. We wanted to see if it would resolve itself by the time we recorded again. And just like the rugby league gods dictate, yes, it has. And Ricky Stewart has found himself with a $25,000 fine and a 7-day ban. It's almost like a deregistration, really, such as the lack of contact of anything to do with the fucking club he's allowed to have. So he's getting a 1-week holiday.
I demand phone taps. Phone taps?
Well, because remember the last time, well, I don't know if it was the last time this happened, but remember that when it happened with one Flano Senior. Yes. And then they look at his emails and he's just fucking...
Yeah.
I mean, so the NRL should be very well equipped to understand the various avenues in which a coach may try to circumvent bans.
Wasn't that because, like, Cronulla then tried to, like, volunteer some information for a minor breach on something else and in doing so, like, handed over all of his emails?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that. That was fucking classic. Yeah.
So it's kind of like the Alex Jones situation.
Yeah, that's right.
That also happened this week. And I'll tell you what, crackpots getting killed by their representation.
I'll tell you what, if an entire fucking fan base morphed together and formed a person, the Sharks would be Alex Jones.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yes.
I think they would agree.
Yes, they would.
I mean, like, they, you know, they fondly remember the time that they you know, try to, you know, fight the Lebanese off their golden beaches in the Shire.
That's,
I mean,
it.
It's a regional public holiday there, I believe.
In fact, I believe the Sharks fans refer to that day as their Sandy Hook.
I make that the title. I'm just going to make it Sandy Hook, and people are going to see it, and they're just going to be like, "Oh fuck, what have they said? What have they said this time? What? How bad is this going to be?" but back to the story at hand, though. So yeah, Ricky, 1 week total suspension, $25,000 fine. I think that we speculated the other night that, you know, he'd get fined about $20,000. Well, they bumped it up a little bit more, and now's the chance for us to actually talk about the situation. So obviously everyone knows about the weak gutted dog press conference that happened after Canberra's loss to the Panthers, and the incident in the game where Jamin Salmon kicked Starling in the nuts. And when asked about that incident, Ricky said, "Look, I've known this kid, you know, since he was a kid. He was a weak gutted dog back then. He's a weak gutted dog now." So there's a little bit to unpack here, but I think people are getting bogged in with, what did he say? What did he do when he was 12? That Ricky had to hold on to it for a decade and then blow up at a press conference. And the answer is, it doesn't fucking matter, because 12-year-old kids can be cunts at the best of times. Glenn and I understand this. Mm. And you will too. You will soon. Especially because chips don't fall far from the block.
Chips and blocks and apples and fucking trees.
Exactly.
Sometimes you chop down the apple tree because you can't get the apples out of it, because they just actually don't fall out of the tree, and then the chips don't fall far from the block once you've chopped the cut down.
Well, I mean, it's like a block of fucking diamond. I mean, you just there's nothing can be done.
Oh, that's fucking brilliant.
and so it doesn't matter what he said back then when he was a kid, because even if he said the most heinous shit that you could possibly imagine, a decade later, in a press conference, unrelated to that, to trawl that back up again, when you're this guy who is a, you know, legendary player of the game, successful premiership winning coach, long tenured person of the game of rugby league, you don't get up there in front of a microphone and use that platform to try and litigate some fucking decade-old grudge against something that happened when a kid was 12 years old. So I think the first thing that I would like to say is that, I mean, in regards to this incident, both of them are cunts. One was a cunt when he was a kid, though, and one still is. He is probably almost certainly in the wrong for whatever happened when he was a kid. Ricky is certainly in the wrong to bring it up when he did now. And now we see what happens. I mean, I think because of the suspension and the fine and everything like that, that'll probably cool down the Salmon side. Like I don't think they'll take it much further themselves. But you know,
it probably speaks more about Ricky Stewart and the fucking hell that is his fucking mental state day in, day out. Like, I'm thinking back now to when I was 12 years old, and like, for fuck's sake, like, that's what's the difference between, you know, 12 and 9? It's 3 years. It's fucking nothing. That's COVID. Yeah. You know, yeah. A 9-year-old at the beginning of COVID's a 12-year-old now. Yeah. How much does that fucking kid understand about the world and the impact of their... Now, they should have a decent understanding, and they know right and wrong, and they know how to rationalize and all of that stuff. But really, to say something, and what he said must have been pretty fucking bad for it to affect Ricky like that.
Well, to affect his kid to the point then that Ricky got involved, and then he must have got involved at a fairly high volume, because then that got the father of, you know, Salmon involved.
Yeah.
And then reports say they had to be separated or whatever.
Now, here's this one thing. Take everything else out of it. Can you imagine the sort of person that goes as a fucking adult?
Mm.
There's no physicality involved here, right? There's no physicality involved. There's words. Now, yes, words hurt. But to go at a kid so hard that then their parent needs to come in and defend them, that's the first part of this story, is that's a fucking giant red flag. There's a fucking giant red flag. Mm-hmm. If you have a problem with a child, you don't go to the child, you go to the parents.
Exactly.
Now, presumably, everything I read said they were teammates.
Yeah.
Right? So presumably, you're in the same place at the same time as these people, fucking at least 2 times a week.
Yeah.
You know, training
over a prolonged period of months.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know? So there's the first giant red flag. Then, to fucking hold on to it for that fucking long. Now, I fucking hold on to a lot of things from my past. But I understand that that's also my own failing, and I don't fucking go around airing them in any sort of capacity to anyone, let alone on a fucking international broadcaster at a press conference of a professional sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's red flag number two. Then, number three is the way he fucking phrased it was so fucking dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a bit to do with that kid.
Yep.
Now, that implies that he's had a bit to do with him, you know, other than...
He's known him all his life, sort of thing, essentially.
You know what you had to do with him? Actually, fucking nothing.
Mm.
Because you stood on the sideline and watched it training and watched it games as your kid played on the same kid that he, the same team that he did.
Yep.
That's not having something to do with him. That's having a casual acquaintance. That's knowing that kid's
name from your past.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I've had, you know, I've known him since he was 12 years old. Well, no, you've known of him since he was 12 years old. You've
known you knew him. For, you knew him for brief snapshots of hours at a time when he was 12 years old.
That's it.
Yeah.
And he was enough at 12 years old to fucking rattle you to going straight at a fucking prepubescent boy like some sort of fucking drunk ancient Greek at a party. Like, Jesus Christ, the only other person in the NRL that cares as much about young children is Brett Finch.
Like, fuck.
Allegedly.
Oh, Jesus, fuck. Oh, man, you're going to kill me with this shit.
But from step one, nothing about that situation is excusable.
Yep.
At all.
Yep.
At all. Now, then he goes and relies on the fact that, and fucking the bit that fucks me off again, is that he's got his mates in the fucking press like Paul Kent going, oh.
Who are known to be mates of his
and
have a track record of just batting for him on any cause.
Oh, disabled daughter, the Ricky Stewart Foundation. Yeah. Oh, someone said something about his daughter. Oh, and she's disabled. Fucking disabilities are shit. But you know what? I know people with disabled children of varying degrees that are doing it a lot fucking tougher than Ricky Stewart and have to put up with a lot more shit in terms of hardships or unkindness or unpleasantness towards their children, but don't go fucking shirt-fronting prepubescent children. Boys.
Yep.
You know, like Mr. Fucking Tough Hero does.
Yep.
Like, for fuck's sake, it's a fucking tragedy when any child's life, you know, and look, you say that with a grain of salt. Then I've spoken to parents who go, no, to me it's not a tragedy, it's who they are and they're just as special and, you know, that point of view has to be respected as well. But just because that's happened in your family, it's not an excuse for this sort of shit.
Yep.
You know?
And it's not an out. It shouldn't be an out. Regardless of your family makeup or whatever issues that your family or any individual within your family might be dealing with, having that amongst your family unit in any capacity, no matter what it is not an excuse to go at a child.
No.
To the point again where, you know, as you said, Jay, where the dad feels compelled. In a setting such as a sporting team, that he feels like his child is being attacked by an adult.
Yeah,
that's essentially the only, you know, the time where you would fucking step up and create that sort of engagement with another adult, right?
That's
clearly he felt like his child was being attacked.
Yeah,
not just someone's made a fucking shit comment towards their kid, which happens, but attacked.
Yeah,
you know,
that's it.
And then again to hold on to it. Whatever the fuck it was, and not get to a point in your life where you're like, you know what, kids can be cunts, and kids can say some fucking shit things.
Yep,
and they do, and that's what kids do. To but hold then, on to it,
but also for him to have played the game as well, and to have the reputation he had when playing the game for a little bit of fucking niggle.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. To not understand that, you know, and again, I don't want to condone what Salmon did, whether it was intentional or not, that's fucking the etiquette of the game is you don't fucking kick people in the cags, right?
Yep.
But I can't think of a situation where lashing out with the foot is okay. Maybe if your fucking leg's twisted and hurting and you can't get them off, maybe, you know?
Yeah,
maybe,
but even then you'd still have to explain yourself in the media and stuff afterwards, and then look at the tape and go, yeah, of course, okay.
Yeah, that's it. So, again, not excusing what Salmon did at all, but to then equate that to, well, hang on, he must do this now because he did that when he was a kid. And I know nothing of him in between.
Because he said that when he was a kid.
Yeah,
he didn't
that's
do
it.
Anything
that's
either. It. He just said something, you know what I mean? Like,
that's it. You know, man, I feel horrific about some of the way. Like, there were some of our peers when we were younger. Like, there was a kid, we knew that if he got riled up enough, he'd throw chairs and we'd all get, you know, 45 minutes out of class.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking horrible. That these days, that child would have been diagnosed and received extra assistance and treatment and all of these other things. Back then, he was the one that went nuts.
Yep.
You know, so... equating something that happened when I was 12 to something I did today.
Yep.
Yeah, but... for fuck's sake, Ricky. If you know what? It makes me fucking concerned about the Ricky Stewart Foundation and what it does. Because unless Ricky Stewart's now standing up and going, well, fuck, you know what I've learned? That if a child is unkind, what you do is educate them. And you go to the other dad and you go, hey, look, I need to talk to you. This is something that your kid said. And it's about a child with a disability. What I'd really like to do is offer him the opportunity to fucking come to, you know, whatever special school or this or that, or spend some fucking time with the kid and let's try and explain what it means for them, how they're a bit different, but these are all the ways they're the same.
Yep.
You know, to help. Would you be okay for us to organise that? You know, and that's hard if someone's mean to your kid and you've got the red rage and all of that stuff. But you've got to be better than that.
What you're saying is being a part of the solution.
Fuck yes.
Rather than creating a problem that fucking lingers for 10 years until your paths converge again. And look, I mean, you know, this is 2022 and it's all about Dairy Queen vibes. So, I mean, I'd like to try and think of this as a positive thing that came out of this.
Yeah.
And Jamin Salmon is a fit young footballer. He's obviously come up with great nutrition. I expect that he ate a shitload of avocado toast growing up because he had the wonderful advantage of living rent-free in Ricky's head for a decade.
Yeah, correct.
Now,
I'm glad that he could also finally get out of that absolute cesspool of humanity that causes these things, that is the Shire.
Again.
Yeah, and move to a decent, reputable neighbourhood like Penrith.
Just some other quick ones here. We mentioned that it was rumored to be happening, and it has happened today. That Roosters hooker Sam Verrills has been signed by the Gold Coast Titans on a 2-year deal, and good move from the Titans. I mean, we've spoken about them all year is the fact that they gambled on inexperience across the entire spine. It backfired for them dreadfully to the extent that they'll probably end up with a spoon, and so they've got some mega experience in there. In at six with Foran, and then they've got Verrills, who's, you know, played and won grand finals, and still a young player as well. That's yet to fully reach his potential, I'd expect.
Yep.
But yeah, so they've solved half of the problem now, and perhaps with these two guys in there, then, you know, guys like Brimson and Sexton or whatever can, you know, get up to snuff and learn to play the game.
Yeah, a fucking good get for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, a great get. I mean, like, he started in at juniors at Manly, and like, if I would have loved them to fucking pursue him, you know, had been like an open market sort of situation.
Yeah.
Because it would have been great. I tell you, on the Facebook group through the week, someone put an article in there about David Nofaluma with a train wreck of an interview. When they're asking him essentially about, yeah, what's it like down in Melbourne? How were you received when you got there? What was it like walking into the Storm the first day? You know, did they make you feel comfortable and so on? And, you know, what are your plans after it? And, like, the fact of the matter is he's signed to the West Tigers forever, essentially. This is a loan situation where at the end of the conclusion of his time in the Storm, when their season ends, he goes back. But the way that he was trying to say that that he's focusing right now on doing the best he can for the Melbourne Storm. And but the way it came out was basically...
Don't let me go back there.
Couldn't think of a better place to play finals than at the Melbourne Storm. we'll see what happens at the end of the season. What was impressing you about the Storm? Oh, just the culture, the culture, you know, the great culture they've got and the systems they've got. And it just came off as such a funny interview where he was shitting on everything Tigers, blowing everything Storm, and it was wonderful. But the reason why I brought that up is because Adam Dewey has revealed that he was a name that was that came up for the Storm loan switch, and he didn't really he found out about it in the media, didn't look into it, And he sort of left it to his manager in the club to deal with. Then his manager called him, discussed the options and what the Storm were offering him to go down for the rest of the season. And he thought, oh, that'd be a good opportunity to go down. I presume the Storm would want to slot him in at centre because that's where they've really got the need, I think.
Yeah, also where he plays his best football.
Oh, some would say. I mean, no.
Not him, so but some.
Yeah. And so he decided, so he's heard that and gone, yeah, actually, great idea, because unlike Nofa, he's thought about it the right way. He's like, I can go down there and spend 2 months, learn under them, play some finals footy, bring that back to the club, come back a better player than I was. But the Tigers said nope. And because he was coming back from like injury, and if he went down there, got injured straight away again, then you know it's not the best look. So he seems to be cool with it. And he's much more eloquent about expressing the reasons and the benefits around doing such a thing than D. Nofaluma.
To the surprise of absolutely no one.
In that interview, he also complained about having his try stolen by young Tomapea as well because he got cramps and was taken off a couple of minutes before the end, and then then young Tomapea scored a try on his wing after he'd gone off. So he's all about. He still loves that junk time. Doesn't matter where he is. Junk time worldwide.
Right. Oh,
fucking hell. You wanted to talk about something, Stepdad, about the Melbourne Storm while we're on the subject?
My favourite story of the week was the response from the Melbourne Storm after Greg Alexander, essentially in the media, came out and said what everyone fucking knows anyway, in that, and it's as, you know, more focus is given to tackles that injure players, obviously with Jacko Hastings at the Tigers having to sit out the rest of the season and things like that. And that every tackle that is so fucking malicious and clearly intentional and planned that it's given a name other than just tackle.
Yep. Or high tackle or something.
Has been intentionally implemented by the Melbourne Storm. Right. You know, there was chicken wings, there's hip drops, there's all of
grapple
this
tackle.
Shit. Yep, that's it. And it's no secret to anyone that they were the first club that had those fucking ground ninja cuddle masters teaching them how to fucking do it.
Oh, there were other clubs that had them, you know, potentially even earlier, but they were the first ones actually being taught essentially submissions.
That's it, yeah.
And implementing, like, because this is the thing, like, before I started in jiu-jitsu, you don't even fucking notice, like, just a simple one where a guy is face down, he's been tackled, he's rolled over, he's going to get up and play the ball. The Melbourne Storm, they slip one hand under one side of his collar and then one hand on the other side, and then they just straighten their arms, and they're actually choking the guy. Like, it's a chokehold that you would do with a gi.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like they're doing anything other than they've got their hands on his jersey.
Exactly. So,
but yeah,
you know, and again, it's true. The Melbourne Storm, and this is not the fault of the Melbourne Storm for the success that it had. They, you know, for them implementing it, fair enough. Say what you want about them as a club record label and as a motherfucking crew. It's the job of the NRL for not stamping it out and saying, "Hey, you implemented this, and so here is a penalty for you for implementing illegal tactics."
Yep.
Into the game. Then the Melbourne have shot back with the fucking laziest and most bullshit of fucking responses and called Penrith arrogant. Which is just the fucking catch cry at the moment.
Yeah.
Because they've won a lot of games and they won a grand final and they're a good, young, energetic football side.
So, and they are, but guess what? They're allowed to be.
That's it.
Like they're
but do you know what else that reply has? Nothing to do with anything that Greg Alexander said. Not once did he fucking rebuke anything that he said. No, we didn't. All of our fucking tackles are legal. We never designed any tackles that were, you know, designed to maim or hurt or, you know.
Well, they could have done they could have done the well, actually, you know, such and such a club. The first instance of the blah blah tackle was when such and such in round something this year, when this player did something to this player and caused this injury to him, and that was actually the first documented use of that. You know, none of that.
Exactly. You
Because it doesn't exist because they fucking did it all.
That's right. The guy's a cunt, not a liar.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's our cunt.
I forgot there was another story that came through just before we started recording, as often is the case. The Rabbitohs have been left stranded, potentially without a home ground for next year because they came out and said, well, they see the redevelopment of the Sydney Football Stadium and they see their spiritual homeland as like the eastern suburbs. So they want to move back to Moore Park in that new stadium when it starts, you know, operational again, which will be for next season. Now, the thing is, they come out, they've decided they want to do that. So they come out and publicly announce and formally announce their decision to quit Acor Stadium at Sydney Olympic Park after 16 years. They announced they're doing that because they're going to go back to the rebuilt Allianz Stadium.
Yep.
But the New South Wales government is refusing to approve the move. So they didn't get the green light to go back to Allianz before they announced that they're leaving the other one. And so it basically puts them in a position that, because it puts them in a financial position as well. As like, there's obviously the nomadic position where they don't have the ground, but it's also they can't sell corporate hospitality in advance. They can't sell seated memberships or any of that sort of thing.
Yep.
So it completely fucks them because, I mean, people are, you know, that sort of stuff starts getting sold at the latest.
Although,
you know, they're thinking about it now and they're selling it in October.
Although none of their members actually need seats because they're all fucking cats and dogs.
Or living underground in a graveyard. Yeah.
That's it. So it actually doesn't disadvantage them at all. In fact, it improves their financial position because they don't even have to pretend to post out tickets to anyone. But speaking of grounds, what about fucking Glennie's West Tigers threatening with more deaths? Does anyone find the timing of this a little bit fucking coincidental? That the week after it came to light that no one likes them and no one cares about them and so they're not going to get any sort of upgrade at their home ground.
Well, their seat's not marginal enough to require a fucking 50 barrel full of pork.
But coincidentally, the week after the story drops, that there's all this fucking money out there for stadium redevelopments. Oh, no, a grandstand collapsed at Leichhardt.
A railing.
Oh, a railing. Fucking, have we checked security footage to see fucking Pasco undoing bolts from that thing the fucking night before?
You can just imagine him under, fuck, which one was it? Lefty Lucy, righty tighty, fuck. Fuck.
Oh, no.
Get Trickaboff on the phone.
Fucking hell.
Get a show bag ready.
Putting the nuts in his show bag.
What would Penrith do in this situation?
Yeah.
I'll copy that.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck it. They built a new stadium. Shit.
But you know it's an inside job. I mean, decline doesn't fucking melt steel beams.
But
it was clearly a controlled implosion.
Then the fucking the next day, the CEO's in there threatening. He's like, "Well, look, you know, more people are gonna die."
Yeah. Oh, the ambulance chaser Lee. He knows how to play to his constituency and his business interests.
People are gonna die. It's like a stadium in a third world country. Like, I don't know.
To be fair, I think there's rugby league teams in third world countries that have never played the game before that would play better than the Tigers have at points of this season. So it's probably fair that we're playing out of a stadium that's a third world grade.
Yeah. Fuck, I don't ever think I remember seeing the 40-hour famine ads with a new fucking grandstand in the back for the, you know, the little fucking distended belly kids so they can run on and take field goals.
In their orange and black jerseys.
Get Bob Geldof on the phone. Have also a fucking
on the subject of the Tigers, of course, they have ceased to move forward on their legal action regarding the 2 points that they were legitimately robbed of by the NRL in the match against the Cowboys.
Yeah,
a couple of weeks back.
What a shock.
Yep, the Tiger. I mean, it's like Kevy Walters, you know, in Origin, he famously had that brain genius, you know, done guy. I mean, the Tigers must have fucking Siegfried and Royd the amount of times they fucking roll over, like, on cue. So, I don't know, Glennie. Have you got anything to say in defence of your club?
No, you can't defend the indefensible. Either fucking follow through or shut up.
Especially when you when the chairman or whatever is like the principal at a fucking law firm.
Yeah, fucking hook
surely,
it.
Just... Surely those billable hours can get comped thrown under pro bono or something.
Surely you just fucking have a go just to make a cunt of yourself. Like, yeah. Why not? What do you got to lose?
Yeah.
And then if it fucking turns to shit, your PASCO's boss, fucking send that cunt out to answer the questions. Send, feed him to the Lions. What do you got to lose?
Right, games. Round 22 coming up this week. And the first game that we have is the Penrith Panthers taking on the Melbourne Storm at Penrith. Now, the Panthers side...
Where did you say this game is being played, Nathan?
I know. I'm shocked and stunned.
You look shocked and stunned.
I almost tripped over the words because I almost just by habit started saying, like, you know, the Korean housewife or Amy Park. But no. For the first time this season, I believe, the Melbourne Storm are playing away from home. Now, the Panthers side... I mean, you know, no fact-checking done here, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Fisher Harris is suspended, so he's replaced by Matt Eisenhuth. Kickout looks like he may make his return this week. He's been named in the reserves in jersey number 22. Talon May, he's out. Chris Smith and Kurt Falls also out. So Taruva starts on the wing. Jennings comes onto the bench, and Chris Smith makes way, of course, for the aforementioned Viliami kickout. The Storm side, Munster moves back to 5'8". After another brilliant game at fullback last week, Meaney returns at fullback. Cooper Johns shifts to half with Jerome Hughes out for a couple of weeks. Ollam returns from COVID, pushes young Tonomapea to the reserves, and Felice Kaufusi is out. For personal reasons, I believe the matter that a few weeks ago ultimately ended up worse. Tom Eisenhuth is named in the back row in his place. Chris Lewis on the bench. Look, honestly, with all the outs and the substitute players in, both sides have been hit.
Yeah.
The one substitute that immediately sticks out at me is Cooper Johns. And it's for that reason that the Melbourne Storm cannot win this fucking game.
Nathan, I'll direct your attention to, well, not so much a replacement, it's his second game, but in number two for the Storm. I noticed last week in the team list on NRL.com, they had David Nofaluma listed on the wing for the Storm, and there was no photo. There was no image. They hadn't had time. Sometime in the last 7 to 10 days.
Surely they could just grab, like, you know, another one of the players and just Photoshop head.
No, this is, I'll tell you what they've done, is they've fucking dragged him into a room after training, and they've slipped the jersey on, and the cunt couldn't look happier, and it's bringing back a painful memory after the grand final last year, and I can just imagine that at some point in the future, maybe not this season, because he may actually participate if they happen to make the grand final. But can you imagine next year if Melbourne happened to win the comp and then fucking David Nofaluma is snapped around the fucking streets of Campbelltown hanging out of a car wearing Melbourne Storm jersey? Because that's what Tigers players do.
Wearing his grubby Storm jersey that he never handed to the cleaners after the fucking last round.
That he's never taken off.
Well, there's just next year's grand finals, just Melbourne and Penrith. And there's drone footage from a fucking Meriton suite. Dano and Noffer are just madly making out in their jerseys.
Oh, fucking hell. Penrith at home for me.
Oh, I still don't think that the Storm are back. I mean, they obviously got the win last week. But it was against poor opposition, and it wasn't by nearly enough. I mean, they had started out with that brilliant avalanche of points at the start of the game.
Yeah.
And then were extremely ordinary for probably good 55, 60 minutes of, you know, following that.
Yeah.
And it was really a single-handed game by Cameron Munster that got them the win. So I'll certainly secure them the win. So, look, I still think they're massively out of sorts. 2 points last week means nothing. And I think they're heading for another, you know, reasonable loss. I mean, I just don't think they've got the personnel at the moment on the field to even lift for the fact, you know, they're playing the Panthers and, you know.
Obviously, they want to beat the best and they will be up for this game. and they'll be preparing for this game like it's the most important one of their season. And it probably is so far. The last time they met Penrith flogged them. Like, it was 30-odd yep. points on them last time they met. But the big switch here, and again, Munster was brilliant at fullback, but he's far more dangerous in the halves. Just the fact that he's in and around anything that's going on, he can play both sides, he's an absolute fucking weapon, and he's in a purple patch. It's just unfortunate that it's happened, you know, when they're so down on troops elsewhere.
For me, honestly, I just think with Jerome Hughes out, that pretty much puts a line through the storm for as long as he's not there.
It does, which... Now,
let alone games against, you know, teams like Penrith.
Look, you say put a line through, but it does mean with any other team, it would just be like, yep, okay, cool, focus on Munster. Everything's coming from Munster.
Yep.
Everything goes on him. But he's good enough that he'll get around some of that. Yep. I don't think you can overstate how important Fish is for that Panthers forward pack, just for his fucking work ethic and for... No one would want to be letting him down. You know, he's not that prop who takes a couple of hit-ups and then goes missing for a while. He's in and does everything he needs to do. So he's got big shoes to fill.
No one wants to let him down in equal parts because they love him, but also because they're scared of him.
Yeah, 100%.
I can't actually watch interviews after games with James Fisher-Harris.
No. Exactly. If you notice, I don't say his name because I'm worried if I do say it three times, he'll come out of the computer and kill me. And I genuinely love him.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah, look, Penrith need to stand up for this one, and they really need to put a show on here to say that, look, Melbourne are coming for us and they're close to the best opposition we're going to have. So we need to put a damper on their season.
Yeah, that might be what their internal motivation is, but in reality, they don't need shit. It means nothing if they lose this game.
No, it doesn't.
Like, absolutely
fucking nothing.
Munster has to have an absolute superhuman game just to give Melbourne a chance of winning.
Yep. Yeah.
And I still don't think it'd be enough.
their defense still isn't right. I mean, no. that's the thing. Munster could score some tries. He can score another hat trick this week.
Mm.
But are they going to concede less than 18 points?
Yeah, good point.
You know, probably not. The Warriors take on the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. Oh, yeah, pub slot delivers again. And this one's taking place at Mount Smart Stadium over in New Zealand. The Warriors, okay, what have we got? Vialia and Usi come out of the side. Aitken moves to the back row. Penne out of the side. Egan moves to hooker. And Lusick is benched with Otokolo pushed back to reserves. Curran starts lock. The doggy side, Tevita Pangai Jr. is out. Harry Edwards comes back onto the bench. And that is the only change there. It really struck me, I didn't mention it when we were talking about the games last week, it really struck me that you and Aitken never fucking pass the ball. He's the new Gandalf. Like,
yeah.
When I said towards the end of the game there where the Warriors had these several, like, long, you know, almost length of field breaks that should have resulted in tries, you know, in either that play or subsequent ones. There are a couple of them because fucking Ewan Aitken would get the ball and step back to the short side when there was a massive line out and all of the fucking defenders were bunched in front of him. And like, that guy is gigantic. I'm going to almost crown him as the biggest hog in the game.
Yep.
At this point. Yep. It's irrelevant to the... you know, to the actual tale of the entire game. And they've got him stuck in the back row now, so...
Yeah, you know, true.
Maybe he'll just be taking the hard carries, but, yeah. There's certainly not going to be any silky ball play out in the, out the fucking edges from Ewan Aitken. Look, the Doggies have done enough over the Mick Potter era to well and truly, you know, be given favouritism against this Warriors side.
Yep.
Yeah,
sure.
They still don't put in for a full 80 minutes and they can, you know, drop off a little bit around the 60-minute mark. But are the Warriors going to be in touch with them at that point anyway? I mean, the New Zealand thing, is that a factor? Does that bring the Warriors? Because with the Warriors, it is all mental. I mean, they've got some fucking... I mean, like, players like, you know, Adam Fanua-Blake and Tohu Harris and Curran is always, you know, always a star for him. Reece Walsh in attack. But they shouldn't be getting run through like they are. So it's all attitude, and does Mount Smart game, you know, they've started those games strongly, but is that enough to beat the Dogs? I'd probably not.
Yeah, no, agree.
Yeah, I'd like to tip the Warriors for the New Zealand, the Mount Smart factor, but I don't feel comfortable doing it. I think that, like you say, the Dogs, whilst patchy at times, their form since Barrett has been shifted is far better than his entire tenure at the clubs.
Mm.
And I think they've got enough there, even just the Addo Carr Burton combination is probably enough to do the Warriors in.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And that's the thing, looking at them, and, you know, I don't know, maybe we're extrapolating too much here from what we assume the clubs are doing, but you look at the Bulldogs, and it seems as if they're building into next year. Yeah. They understand that they've got more pieces on the way, but the combinations they form now and the reps they do now in games will serve them next year.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas the Warriors, on the other hand, you know, and both of them lost a coach this year, but it's just a tale of two very different clubs and two very different mentalities. The Bulldogs, everything's positive and everyone's looking to the future, and their fans have been through some fucking dark years. You know, but there's finally, I guess, almost that light at the end of the tunnel, more so than there's been in a long, long time. And the Warriors, after losing their coach and having a fucking hero of the club and the nation take over as caretaker before, as we were quite properly corrected, that Webby takes over next year. But there's none of that positivity, it seems, in the Warriors. Like, who have they got coming to the club? Who's the pieces that, well, fuck, if we can get this even 75% right now, you know, next year that's a springboard and we get this and this and this.
That actually reminds me of something I didn't talk about at the top of the show. This Isaiah Papali'i situation is fucking ridiculous now. Yeah. I mean, there's been, for about a month, there's been chat that, you know, perhaps he's having second thoughts about his move to the West Tigers for next year and he might backflip and all that sort of thing. And then today, and he sort of said, he came out and justified it to say, all my discussions when I was talking about moving to the Tigers were with Madge. And yeah, what his plans for me were, and what his vision was of the role I'd play, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And you know, now he's not there, so you know, I'm just like, you know, having second thoughts. But then he goes on to say, it's not that he's just having second thoughts about that, because now it's like he may end up with the Warriors.
Yeah.
And, like, at the end, like, motherfucker, this is.
Is it
like,
Matt?
I would hate to be. I'd hate to fall on the same side as history as fucking Clint Newton, but you signed your contract. You have like a cooling off period in which you can have your second thoughts and walk away. You let that well and truly fucking expire by how long? Fulfill your contract.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, what's the fucking point of signing players anymore if like all the checks and balances are in there to you know, make these things happen? And yeah, so I think the Tigers, if you know, if they want to start a lawsuit and see it through to the fucking end this time, you'll be making sure that motherfucker straps on a jersey next year.
Yeah. Yep.
Because, like, it's one thing to say, oh, you know, Madge is not there, I'm comfortable, you know, and then stay at the Eels. Sure. It's not great, but the optics are far better than, oh, well, I'll just go to the Warriors.
Yeah, it's fucking shit.
But on this, the Doggies. I think Doggies will win fairly comfortably.
Yes.
Unless the Warriors at the end of the game, the last 20 minutes, the Doggies fall off like they do, the Warriors start doing their length of the field thing that they did last week and actually convert some of the opportunities. I just don't think they got it in them, though.
Yeah.
Late game Friday, the Eels take on the Rabbitohs at CommBank Stadium, the Eels side. Welcome back Ofahiki Ogden onto the bench with Makatoa pushing to reserves. The Rabbitohs side, Sele returns. He starts with Saluka Fifita out of the 17. And that's it.
Latrell Mitchell.
Rabbitohs. Manly had plenty of success down the left-hand side of the Eels all fucking night long. You know, with Jason Saab, you know, compiling, you know, one of his best games of his entire career. The Rabbitohs left side.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fucking great night for AJ. I don't respect the Eels at all, to be honest. I think they're far, like, apart, the only matchup they I ever liked them in is against Penrith, because it's the only one that they've that they have exhibited any fucking ability to consistently
get up
compete for. At the same sort of level. Yeah, week in, week out when they play that. But then you just, other games, you just don't know what you're going to fucking get with them.
Yeah, that's it.
You just don't know.
It's been billed as a big game, and it is, given that both teams' positions on the ladder and,
yeah,
and the
absolutely.
Quality of the South's side now that Mitchell's back. But the fact that it's been billed as a big game, Mitchell's a big game player, and I think if the game's close, he'll be the difference, but I don't expect it to be close. I think South will do a reasonable job on Parra.
Yeah, and if it's close, Parramatta don't have anyone to step up in a close game.
No, exactly.
Their sole guy in those situations is Mitchell Moses.
Yep.
And even then, you know, it doesn't happen every time for him.
Yep.
Honestly, unless they can perform a Jedi mind trick on fucking Jackson Paulo and Isaac Thompson, or Isaiah Tapp, unless they could do a Jedi mind trick that makes them fall for fucking Sean Lane shit every time.
Yeah.
No chance. And I can see the Rabbitohs, especially with a better hooker, you know, the likes of Damien Cook, guiding things around and sending guys like Kalama Tungi at fucking Jacob Arthur all night. Yeah, I'd see the Rabbits winning this one comfortably.
Yeah.
Which means I'll probably lose, but... Yeah. the Roosters take on the North Queensland Cowboys on Saturday afternoon at the SCG. I'm sick of the SCG. Can't wait till they build out a fucking ground. I'm not a fan
it's
of
finished,
the...
yeah.
Well, they're not using it yet, though.
No. Yeah.
They need to hurry up and get that shit in the gear. Okay, the Roosters. Egan Butcher replaces Ben Thomas on the interchange. North Queensland Cowboys welcome back Jordan McLean via the bench. Jake Granville is the player who makes way. Cotter starts, and Jermaine Tenor Brown will be coming from the bench. Well, two
Roosters
teams
are
again.
Favourites in this game by a reasonable margin. $2.25 for the Cowboys, $1.65 for the Roosters.
Yeah, I mean, and the Cowboys have travelled well this year. Mm. They've travelled pretty well,
and the Roosters have. Whilst they've had some good performances, they haven't really been consistent and haven't shown that they're...
They haven't been putting 80 minutes together.
No,
exactly. I'm surprised by that. No, I'm actually going to tip the Cowboys.
Yeah, my respect for the Cowboys has decreased, you know, over the last sort of probably month and a half, just on the defensive side, because they really did put a premium on points that they let in, and particularly, sort of like midway through the first half, all those crucial periods before halftime, and then into the second half, they just didn't concede points during those times. But that's happened a lot over the last sort of 6 weeks, and they have let some reasonable scores in. So look, they need to tighten up their defense, but you just don't know what you're going to get out. You don't know which Rooster side. Are you going to get the team that was absolutely fucking lethal, throwing points on it at a point a minute rate in the first 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Or are you going to get the team that can't get out of their own fucking way?
Mm.
I mean, I think their attack is coming together better and more consistently than it has been at any other point in this season.
Yep.
But they're still not there. And, and this close to the finals, I don't know if they're ever going to really get there. But, I just think the Cowboys are those young fucking back rowers.
Too strong.
Too strong, and just too many opportunities generated in the course of a game. But guys like your Nanais and your Taumalolos, I mean, they're fucking relentless, and if there's a half opportunity to pop an offload, jump on a ball that's, contested, they're fucking there every time in that contest.
Yep.
So.
And the form that Drinkwater's in as well. Like those, he's the perfect guy to capitalise off those half chances with the edge back rows and the guys, with offloads in them. And he's putting himself more and more in the perfect position to capitalise on those. Much as Tedesco has done his entire career. So I expect Teddy to be strong for the Roosters, but I think the Cowboys will win 1-12.
Yep.
Mm.
I would agree. Moving to Saturday afternoon, the West Tigers take on the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks, heading out to Tamworth. The Tigers side, Stafford Toa moves to the wing to cover Ken Mamalo, who is out with a PCL injury. Roberts comes in at centre, Musgrove named prop. Offa Hengawi moves to lock. And Glennie's favourite icy pole back to the bench. The Sharks side.
The caramel icy pole.
Lachlan Miller replaces Connor Tracy. Trindle remains in 5/8. And Finucane returns from suspension at lock with McInnes benched.
Yes, well, this could be Glennie. Interesting.
Justify their existence. How much are you going to win? How much are you going to win by? How many golden guitars are you going to smash over their heads?
I think we might be picking our fucking banjo at the end of this one, to be quite honest. But
mate, you smashed the Broncos.
We did.
You technically beat the Cowboys.
Yes.
I mean, the Sharkies are chasing the Cowboys. I mean, this one, yeah, they may not challenge after full time.
I expect them to be more up for this game than they were for the fucking Knights last week. Can they be?
I mean, it was a symptom. Was the Knights thing a symptom of being favourites for the first time in the history of the joint venture, or was it because, or was it a symptom of the fact they didn't have fucking Jackson Hastings in the side, and that's as good as they play without him?
Time will tell, I guess. I expect the Sharks to be very strong, I wouldn't say I was confident about what the Tigers are going to bring to the table in this game, as much as it pains me to admit it.
Well, much like the Roosters last week, the Sharkies they started off brilliantly, and then were fairly porous towards the end of the game. And they had enough of a lead to fall back on during the game, and then get away with the win. But they weren't great.
Mm.
After they were great in that period where the game was there to be won, but in all of the other areas, not so much.
Look, you've convinced me now. Fucking Tigers 13 plus. I expect Stafford Toa to be a little more effective should a grubber be put behind him than Kenny Queen Mary Marlowe. On his fucking one leg. I think he actually played with a PCL injury last week and just completely fucked it, which is, he probably should have had the week off.
Yeah. But,
no, we're obviously Cronulla are particularly strong is through the forwards. And the Tigers are going to have to be very strong through that area, but I just, Finucane and Wade Graham on the edges. And then you've got Hines and Talakai floating around with a bit of space. It's dangerous. And the Tigers definitely need to play like they did against the Cowboys and the Broncos to have any chance of winning. So,
yeah. I mean, I think the problem with the West Tigers in this game is that there's some really key matchups that the Sharks have the advantage in, and that's numbers 1 through 17.
We are a little bit light on in our bench, I will say. Also, the caramel icy pole is one thing, and I'm here for him. And Tommy Freeband, great debut last week. The Peach and Austin Diaz. So half our bench, I'm not 100% sold on, if I'm honest. And the whole bringing Peachy on to relieve New Brown of the hooking duties. Not sold on that fucking idea either, to be quite frank. So, could be a tough afternoon for the Tigers, but they've shown in recent form that they are obviously getting up for the better sides, and the Sharks are definitely one of those. So, could be one of those games.
Hopefully, they can channel the spirit of Lee Kernaghan and bring home another win in Tamworth.
What's that? A speech impediment?
The Broncos take on the Knights.
Fucking Casey Chambers and bore every cunt to death.
Casey Chambers is an Aussie hero, Glenn.
They can do a cover. They can do a modern 2022 reworking of her hit single. Not pretty enough. Is they not good enough? Well, hell yeah! Even if you want to rhyme, you can go say not shitty enough in brackets to win the spoon.
Noff, brackets A. Shitty enough.
he's a storm problem now.
We can do this all night.
We're good.
Is Norfa shitty enough?
Yes. Sorry, I thought it was a quiz.
Saturday night, the Broncos take on the Knights, Suncorp Stadium. Brisbane Broncos side, welcome back to Murray Martin at fullback with Tessie New out. Branko Lee replaces Dane Mariner, and Walters is a starting hooker with Turpin on the bench. Newcastle Knights side, Clune comes back, replaces Clifford in the halves. Clemmer is back in, welcome back into the fold as well. Jacob Saifidi on the bench. Mitch Barnett is out with Croker named lock.
I think the Knights are going to trot up to Brisbane and full of confidence after dispatching the Tigers last weekend and get a fucking rude shock. And I think they're going to get absolutely fucking belted in this game.
This will give us a good idea of just how tired the Broncos are at the end of the season, because they've looked like they've been flagging a little bit the last couple of weeks.
Mm. I expect them to be tired at the end of this game from running fucking tries in all night.
Yeah, look, the Knights aren't good. I mean, can an Anthony Milford revenge game spur any action out of the side? I mean, Clemmer, he's been sat there furious for a week.
Yeah.
Is he going to get sent off in the third minute?
Or is he going to get belted, you know, for his first three hit-ups and not be sighted again for the rest of the evening?
Until the 77th minute when he fucking starts humping a guy and trying to pick a fight with him when he gets up to play the ball, yeah.
Fuck. Yep, guys, we're down by 60. Time for the crazy eyes.
Yep. It's clever time.
Someone duck into a tackle so I can protect you. Real talk.
The Broncos are fucking serious. They've got to win this game and win it well.
Yeah, they do.
You talk about Penrith needing to make some sort of statement against the Storm. The Broncos need to make them a statement to say that, you know, getting flogged by the West Tigers is not what they're about.
happens to all the good teams, Nathan.
Does it now? Does it?
No, it doesn't. It happened to one good team in the last month.
Yeah. Oh, look, you got a couple this year. Let's be real.
The Broncos, we put a bit of a score on. We haven't really flogged anyone. We beat Para by a point.
Yeah, I mean, but like the running of the play was, you know, fairly convincing in that
I'll take it.
Look, I'm trying to talk them up. But, two ordinary back-to-back performances from the Broncos after a really good one against the Eels a couple of weeks ago. But, they got to turn it around because they are one of the teams that they, you know, if anyone could fall out the bottom of the eight, they're one of them, given the run
home. Yes, that's it.
The Canberra Raiders take on the St. George Illawarra Dragons early game on Sunday. This one's happening down in Canberra. The Raiders side, Tarpanay out. Goula comes into the starting side at prop. Horsburgh returns on the bench. Xavier Savage returns in fullback. And Albert Hopewate moves to the wing with Nick Trotrick suspended. The Dragon side, Tarek Sims is suspended, and that is his Dragons career over after taking the early guilty plea and being suspended for the rest of the regular season. Maguire starts in the back row, Fui Moano named on the bench, Billy Burns on the interchange, and murderous Frank Molo is out, but they've replaced it with his brother Michael at lock.
Does anyone know, maybe if Ricky Stewart's dad owned a milk bar and any of the Dragons players, you know, maybe stole a fucking killer python from that milk bar 30 years ago? I'm just wondering what the fucking shit's going to be in this press conference this week.
Who knows? Think of the longest bow you could possibly draw.
Again, another fucking game. The Raiders need a statement.
Yeah, Tarpanay is out. And that's one of the biggest statement makers they've got in their side over the period where they've been, you know, goodish.
But again, like here's this thing, Whiten, you're the defending Dally M medal winner.
Well, defending a couple of years ago when he got it.
Didn't he get it last year?
No.
Tom got it last year.
The greatest fucking season of rugby league history by an individual player, Tommy Trbojevic.
I'd forgotten he fucking played anymore. I thought he'd fucking retired.
Nice save.
Legitimately the greatest season of rugby league performed by any player in history of the game.
There you go. I've just bagged Ricky Stewart for hanging on to shit, and I've hung on to Nathan Cleary not winning it for 2 years. Oh, Ricky, I empathise with you. Fucking weak gutted dogs. But
this
again,
this is a gimme. Both of the sides are, you know, fairly, you know, comparable on in terms of ladder position. The Dragons, despite the bleeding of their racist fan base, I mean, this season where they were one of the two teams that were probably favoured to win the spoon.
Yep.
The fact that they have performed it on the fringe of the finals, I mean, how much makes you happy? You can't go from fucking nothing to the premiership in a single season, mate. Yeah.
It's extension, like, worthy for Griffin, surely. 5 years.
Well, I mean, it's better than fucking Mary Ball, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I mean, by virtue, by and large, by Ben Hunt playing absolutely fucking worldies every week for them and being and dragging them on his, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, dragging them along his coattails. But still, be that as it may.
And I mean, with, you know, Andrew McCulloch in the side more often than not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Ben Hunt is playing a Dally M medal quality season in fucking concrete boots.
Mm. Yeah.
Named Moses Umbai and Andrew McCulloch.
It's a fairly shit endorsement deal that he's managed to probably needed to rethink.
Yeah. So, look, I expect the Raiders to win this game. I think that there's more on the line for them. And just across the park, There is more talent. I mean, the Dragons have got some very fucking ploddy forwards in there as well. The Raiders, you know, working through their strengths, should, even without Tarpany, should by all.
Which, I mean, it's easier to name which members of the Dragons forward pack, and to be fair, most of their bench aren't plodders. Save yourself a lot of fucking time, yeah, and energy and oxygen.
I want to give the benefit of the doubt, like, to Jaden Sewer, I guess.
Yeah.
But like, other than that, I struggle.
Yeah. The other thing that gets me about the Dragons is how they use Cameron McInnes.
Yeah.
Like, he was, and, you know, think back. Back before Appy had his comeuppance, you know, returning to Penrith and really making a statement about being the premier hooker in the game. It was McInnes or Cook for New South Wales.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Dragons, I mean, the way they disrespected their favourite son, I mean, yeah, know, for, and then for, to the benefit of Andrew McCulloch is, yeah.
Fuck me. Anyway.
There was a lot of things that happened during the end of that Mary time. I mean, he was a Mary boy.
Yeah,
true. You saw him, yeah, having the cuddles with him and everything after the last game when they dragged up to that win and everything before he got the... asshole.
But really, Jaden Sewer, you're right. I'll give him a pass. But you've got Michael, my brother's alibi, Molo.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Josh Maguire, the epitome of a plotter. Blake Laurie, Andrew McCulloch. And then on the bench, you've got Woodsy and fucking Billy Burns. Fuck out of here. Canberra should dispatch of the Dragons by a fucking good scoreline.
Yeah, unless it's pissing down and Ben Hunt has another fucking all-time fucking performance. All-time. And the final game of the round, the Gold Coast Titans take on the mighty Manly Sea Eagles at Hope Solo Coliseum. The Titan side, they've moved Aaron Clark back to hooker. Aaron Booth, with a horrific injury, is out for the rest of the season. And, you know, potentially, I guess, doesn't really start at the start of next season either, the way his leg went in every fucking direction. Isaac Liu comes in at lock. Patrick Herbert replaces Marzu on the wing. And Marzu is in the 14. The Manly side, Toff Sipley starts prop. Paseka, something happened to him, injured, I think. Aloye returns via the bench.
No longer named Kieran as dead man.
Kieran Foran is supposed, you know, he was supposed to be injured and potentially played his last game for the club after last week's game. He's named at six. I see the fucking Blinky McFadison, or, you know, Chubby McTubby, named in the eighth, named in the fucking, the Fat Stevie Wonder named in the 18. And I can't, and I expect on Saturday when they cut it at whatever time they're going to cut it by 4 p.m., I expected there's going to be a change there, and then Foran will be out, and then he'll be thrown in there. You know, apparently Foran's okay, but I don't know. I mean, the way they were talking in the days after his injury on last weekend, they were talking like, you know, maybe he gets back for a home farewell in 2 weeks, but yeah, he maybe he's played his last game. So,
oof, that's rough.
And see Hank Scorpio there in the 20, making his return back from the broken hand that he sustained in his Reggie's return from the ACL injury that he healed himself through the power of fucking just sheer determination. And
what the fuck are you talking about?
Brad Parker suffered an ACL injury, and after he suffered his ACL, this was probably round, I don't know, let's say 5, and they said, well, obviously ACL season, but what we'll do before we do the surgery, we're just going to let it go for like a couple of months and just see if it can heal up itself without surgery. And it did. And so he returned from an ACL through sheer determination, the kind of determination that being teased as a ranger every day of your life builds inside. And through those flaming red fires, he repaired his ACL.
He sat there and called his ACL a ranger nonstop for 3 months, and it made it that strong that it just fucking healed itself.
It healed itself. And then he came back and through Blacktown, played a game for Blacktown and broke his hand in his first game back. So he's now healed that as well, although on a shorter time frame, and he's there in the 20. So
like a red-headed Jesus. I expect Brad Parker to run out in sandals at this rate.
Mate, fucking red. Red is a colour of the rainbow, and he would have worn that fucking jersey too, believe you me.
He would have.
And so, look, you know, bring him back in for one of those other dead cunts any day of the week, I'll have you, Brad. Yeah, look, I mean, you'd think that Manly would win this game. They'd have to win by 50 to give themselves a chance of anything going on for the rest of the season. But, look. Maybe the Q's in the rack too. Who fucking knows? I mean, what do they believe? I mean, yeah, their beliefs are fucking a strong contentious point. Do they believe that, you know, if they win 4 games, one of the teams will slip and they'll get into the finals? I mean, if they're of that belief, then, you know, the Titans are a great, you know, sacrificial lamb for them to, you know, score some points, buff up the differential somewhat and move on to, you know, more difficult games, you know, but look. Who fucking knows? I mean, Titans are terrible. They should, by all metrics, get flogged in this game. Especially with some of the puzzling fucking selections with Aaron Clark going back to hooker. And like, why is Marzu a chunky-ish winger? Why is he in the 14? What's the fucking plan to replace him?
Well, maybe
when are they going to inject him into the game?
Maybe they see him as a... I mean, I can't even fucking say it. An option in the fucking back row. Like, where else would he? Where else is he of any value?
Is this the thing?
Other than the wing,
where literally hope's been given up. So this is, well, fuck. Get some runs in,
boys. Take a number out of a hat. Whatever number you pull out,
that's your jersey. You play it. yeah.
Position sure. of. Fortune!
So, yeah. Hell. I mean, obviously, Manly 13 plus in this game. But, look, with who fucking knows? Because I've got questions about our bench as well. I mean, it's not as Marjorie as the Titans one is. But, you know, I do wonder why, you know, you've got a very light back rower, you know, slash centre, as well as a centre who's become a... reasonably good impact sub.
You've got so. Two, like, because Ben Turbo, clearly he's there to cover back row, right? He's not.
Yeah, well, he would be. Yeah, you would assume that he's coming on as a back row interchange. Mm. Yes.
And Dylan Walker, fair enough. He's got utility.
And he comes value. In with the superstar. Yeah, he's got utility value. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Ethan Bullimore. Who knows what you're going to get out of him? Because I mean, like, I've been, you know. In conversations, so, you know, pushing him to, you know, he should be seeing more time in first grade. And he had that amazing game against, in the Rainbow game, he had an amazing game, played 80 minutes and was amazing. But last week, I mean, the fucking defensive, like he let through one of those, like a clean fucking line break for the Eels last week that just looked fucking embarrassed. He embarrassed himself in defense. And obviously that's one of the factors which is why he's not seeing so much first grade. You know, so work on that motherfucker. But yeah, we'll see how we go. I mean, like when it comes down to, you know, to Aloye, I mean, he seems to be, you know, when he is in the side, you know, the forwards tend to go well. So, yeah. But he hasn't, mate. We'll see.
Matt, fucking easy. 13 plus.
Yeah. Fucking hate it's a 4 p.m. game, though, too. Because
you got the highest paid player in the history of the game. And if you can't catch a home against the Titans, fuck
and me. Greatest.
Jay, like, you've been involved with this show for many, many years. And I've never, and I don't know about you, but I've never heard Nate be so wishy-washy and fucking negative and potentially fucking considering the chance that the Titans may actually win a game such as this. Have you ever? No. I've never seen this before
life. Boys, it's been a long week. I'm very fucking tired. I apologise for my actions. Mainly 13 plus. Of course, these cucks are going to get fucking absolutely, absolutely fucking eviscerated.
I don't know where you... There we fucking, go. I don't know who that other cunt was, but I don't like him at all.
They're going to send
these cunts home in body bags worse than they did last year when they scored 58 fucking points against them. Much and of which about 50 were in the second half of the game. And let me tell you, that second half felt too fucking long. I was watching the replay and we're just running in try after try and I'm like, oh, this must be, and I'm like, holy fuck, we've still got another 4 fucking tries to score yet. This game's still going.
There we go.
Fucking yeah, it'll be like that again.
Glenn smelling salts Blakely. Thanks for waking him up.
Gotcha.
Fuck the Titans. You're already getting a spoon.
Fuck now, other Nate too. But that now we're gonna fucking pussy.
But now we're gonna do. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna be watching this game, and Manly's performance is gonna be so amazing. I will be fucking other Nate. We'll be fucking going hammer and tong at it.
Are you actually gonna fucking like fire up that much that you might actually go and watch the game, Nate?
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, gonna... I watch every fucking Manly game when they're in the Southeast Queensland. Yes, I watch every Manly game when they're in Southeast Queensland. You saw me last year, motherfucker. Went to like fucking 14 games up and down the coast when we had the entire competition at our grasp.
A simple yes would have sufficed, mate. Fucking,
needed more. Your insolence.
Gold Coast Titans. What are you taking shit out on me for?
Hey, your fucking insolence required more than a yes. That's what I'm saying. I'm just going to say, do you want me to get fucking stepdad? And you don't.
Bring that cunt on.
You don't. You fucking don't want. This is the thing. You're flapping your mouth, but you don't want that smoke.
And you can get Jay to call, and I'll get Jay's business partner to call, and they can call each other. It'll implode on itself.
I'll fucking go and collect him and drive him up the fucking hill and drop him at your front door. See how you like that.
And I'll be like fucking. I'll be like Nicolas Cage playing both sides in that fucking gun movie. I land an aeroplane into Toowoomba and Glennie's kids come out and strip it for parts.
Leo just sets it on fire, sets the fucking remains on fire and just fucking walks away with a smile on his face.
Slow-mo.
Attaboy.
Hang on, is that it? Is that the last game?
That's it.
That was the last game. So that also signals the end of episode 486. Thank you for listening, everyone. Boys, listeners.
Can I throw in what has become a much requested subject? We haven't done a fucking ladder predictor.
Who has predicted that, and in what forum did they do it? Because why? I swear I've never seen it.
Well, no one predicted it.
No, who requested it? Sorry.
Well, no, we're going on because what we put in last time saved in there. Right.
Okay. Cool.
So we've got Panthers of Melbourne.
Riveting. While he's doing that, can you fucking give me an inventory count, Glennie, quickly?
Should put the clock on.
Well, I just want you to see that it's not possible for Manly to make the finals.
Of course, it's possible. They can finish as high as fifth. I saw today on Twitter.
Yep. Oh, okay. Must be real.
In what competition?
I saw an infographic where it had the team's highest possible finishing position and lowest possible finishing position.
Yeah,
so Manly is almost, they're almost certain to finish fifth. I saw.
But I saw that as well on Reddit the other day. But it's not real. As it is, so,
mate, it's an unpredictable competition. You never know what's going to happen.
True. And I think we've got Parramatta losing almost all of their games as well. So that's your biggest rival. You need Parra to get fucking stomped.
Broncos can roll out as well.
Yeah, they certainly can. So the Broncos, you reckon the Knights?
They're looking
could beat
tired.
The Broncos?
Oh, by heaps. You laugh now. And next on Monday, you'll be like, oh fuck, you'll be shell shocked.
Look, the Rabbits are already going to beat the Bunnies.
The Rabbits are going to beat the Bunnies.
Well, okay. Sorry, the Rabbits are going to beat the Eels. Jesus fucking Christ.
Look, I reserve the right to change my tips if it suits my fucking agenda.
Agenda, that's it.
Old agenda, mate.
And we've even got the Bulldogs beating the Eels for you.
Yeah, Bulldogs, easy, specials.
Yep. Yeah, it looks like it's that fucking... It's that rainbow jersey. Are you going to beat the Sharks or what?
Yeah, flog them. If you Morgan Harper's on the other side of the field of Talakai now, no problem.
If you beat the Sharks, then that's it. That's your game.
Yeah, it is. It is. We've like one more game and we're 100% zero chance. If we win all the games, then at least you put yourself in the position to Bradbury it if someone else falters.
Nah, it's not even. You can lose one.
No fucking way. Cannot lose a game.
Oh, hang on. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you can't.
And the other good thing
28 is the fucking 28 is the absolute minimum.
You play the Raiders.
Yeah, we'll fuck them off easy. They ain't shit.
But then even if the Eels beat the Broncos, you're still in.
We gutted dogs.
Oh, I fucking love this season. I fucking love this season.
Because of all of the matchups that are in the last month of the competition, like positions are up for grabs, and also like not just the eight entirely, but also like top four and stuff like that is still very contested, and then home finals and that sort of thing. It's good fucking last 4 weeks, eh?
I'll tell you, I lost to the Bulldogs last round, knocks you out.
I think the other results would have already knocked us out before that.
It's essentially Parramatta and Canberra.
Yeah, okay. We're going to fucking flog. We flogged the Bulldogs. They're absolute bunnies. 66-0 part two, 2022 edition.
There you go.
Fuck Mick Potter revenge game. Corey Waddell suck my dick revenge game. That's what I'm talking about. Trent Barrett fuck your furniture revenge game. That's what that is. But that's a month away, so I don't need to worry about that shit for now. So yeah, that is it. That's it for episode 486. Thanks for listening, everyone. Welcome, new listeners. Hello and goodbye. And thank you to everyone who fucking supports the show, especially our wonderful patrons. And if you would like to get some over 100 hours of additional content and counting, along with other benefits, merch drops, and more, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/twillnation.
And when we say merch drops, we just mean free fucking swag.
Exactly.
Legit.
Exactly.
It's not.
There is shit in production right now for the top two tiers. And if you're at the top tier, you're getting two pieces of merch in the coming weeks when they finish being produced.
Do you know what I fucking hate?
And again, at Christmas time.
You pay for something, and it's like, oh, thank you for paying for this. Paying this gives you the opportunity to buy this.
Yeah. No.
We're not about that.
It's gifts we're giving you. And not just the additional content, but you're actually getting physical fucking merch.
Shit that matters.
Exactly. And more importantly, shit that doesn't actually go on sale either.
Yeah,
anywhere.
That's
like
it.
You can't get it unless you're in it.
That's it.
So, and once the drop happens, then sayonara. You've got it as yours exclusive, never to return.
So essentially, support the fucking economy by getting in and supporting the rampant consumerism that is give me free shit. Because we will give it to you.
Yes.
We're the field of dreams.
And if you want feet pics from Glenny, then by all means, say that shit.
Fuck, man. Boom. I've had that many fucking feet conversations this week.
Signed 8x10 fucking glossy shots of Glenny's feet coming your way.
Fuck
what you
me.
Want, you get.
Jeez, you'd have to zoom in to get an 8x10 of my feet.
No, Glenny, I'll let you in. We've been talking. Me and a couple
Sounds
of the
dangerous.
Other lads... We're going to get all of our partners to start feet only fans so that we can all retire on that fucking sweet, sweet feet money.
Yep.
So you can make a special appearance if you want, Glenny. We'll have a feet platform that you can use. Wars is going to be the foot choreographer.
Oh, fuck.
So
that's a problem.
fucking incredible. Big things.
Yeah. Obviously, a man with you know, decades of fucking experience in visual merchandising, and I mean that man could fucking position a foot for a photo.
Well, just a pure creative, a pure fucking creative.
Yeah.
So.
And a grub. Oh, a creative grub, if you will.
Thank you.
Well, it's perfect job.
It's very, very Ricky Stewart area. He's a creative and sexy man. You know, it's a grub. I mean, grub is like such a negative connotation.
You know what? Sex sells. And he's so sexy it gives itself away.
He's so sexy that he doesn't hesitate to ask his wife to choke him when he gets the urge, Glenn.
Exactly.
I mean that box has been ticked so many times he's fucking punched a hole through the card.
And do you know what she says? She says, "Well, it's not because you're fucking sexy and I love you, but it's because you were brave enough to ask and I fucking respect that." And there's nothing sexier to me than a man I respect. There's your lesson, Glennie. Go get some time
on episode fucking whatever the fuck this is.
go get some respect put on your neck.
Oh, fuck it all.
I love Glennie in the face of uncomfortable line of questioning. It's tremendous. I mean, it's almost the reason to fucking put these episodes on YouTube, just so people can see.
Oh, fuck.
That's it. All right, fellas, I'll talk to you boys, Monday night.
Can't fucking wait.
Oh, boys.
If I can't get down for whatever reason to the footy and I can get on for the thing, we'll do a member side on Sunday arvo, Glennie. But I think I'm going down there, so I'm going to carve out that time.
For the Tigers game on Saturday?
No, you're Saturday. Oh, you want to do Saturday? We can do it.
Well, what else were we going to do? What were we going to
do? What time? Doing yeah.
What time is it Saturday? Yeah, let's do that.
5:30.
Let me see. Yeah, okay. Perfect. Tigers game.
That might work. Fuck yeah.
All right, done. All right, we'll do that. There you go. More content coming your way, patrons. Thank you for your support. And thanks for listening again. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Later. See ya.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.